Hello everyone and welcome back to the Nutrition Nourishment Podcast, a podcast where I talk with my guests through their nutrition journeys. I'm Amelia and your host of the Nutrition Nourishment Podcast. I'm a registered associate nutritionist with a BSc in food science and nutrition and currently studying my MSc in clinical and public health nutrition. Nothing which is said on this podcast should be taken as personalised nutritional advice. If you would like nutrition advice, you can contact a registered nutritionist or dietitian or your GP. Other resources available to you include the NHS and the BDA websites. Now, let's get on with the podcast. It is a pleasure to be joined by a good friend today, Ariana. Ariana and I started our nutrition journeys at the University of Leeds together back in 2016. We were on slightly different courses, but they had an overlap of several modules. Today, Ariana takes us back to her personal inspirations to study nutrition, her journey at Leeds, and what she has been up to since graduating in 2019, including gaining experience within dietetics with an aim of pursuing further education in dietetics. Welcome to the Nutrition Nourishment Podcast, sharing our journeys. Hello, Ari. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm really excited to have you on the podcast. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I am really well, thank you. Just super busy, but I'm thrilled to have you on. And as we went to uni together, I'm so excited to have you on as a guest.
I know. I feel like it's going to be more of a catch up than anything. But yeah, no, so lovely to be asked.
So obviously, I know a little bit about your nutrition journey because we did our undergraduate degrees together. But would you first introduce yourself to our audience? Tell us a bit about you, what you're interested in, some of your hobbies.
Yes, of course. So I am a registered associate nutritionist living in London. I went to the University of Leeds with Millie, as she said, where I obtained my nutrition degree. I then worked as a patient coordinator for the NHS Diabetes Prevention Programme. And then I moved down to London, where I'm now working as a dietitian's assistant. So I want to ultimately pursue a career in dietetics. And then recently I started my new job at King's College London in research in mental health and diabetes. So those are my main interests. I'm kind of here a little bit and everywhere. So I'm in allergies, mental health and diabetes at the moment. But mental health and diabetes are where my heart lies. So I guess I have a bit of a specialism in both of those. And a little fun fact, I guess, is I took my horse to university with me. I don't think Millie ever met him. He's called Spencer.
No, I mean, I've heard a lot about Spencer. Yeah. But I don't think I ever met him.
No, we've all heard about Spencer. And I kept competing throughout university, throughout my first and second year. And that was amazing. And horses are a big, big part of my life.
How long have you been horse riding for?
So I actually grew up in the US until I was, I think, six or so. And I started riding when I was four. So I rode in the US in between those times. And then I didn't ride for a while because we moved to Asia. And then I continued when we moved to the UK when I was nine. So I've been riding on and off for at least 20 years, really.
That's so long. And I know it's something that you're super passionate about. Do you still ride at the moment? What's it like in London?
So I don't, not at the moment, just because of time and everything. But yeah. I think as time goes on and I work out my new schedule with my new job, I will probably get something to ride at least two times a month.
That'll be so lovely. So like coming back to nutrition, and obviously you've lived in a few different countries and you've grown up with your passion for horse riding and you're so passionate about nutrition and dietetics. But when did you first become aware that you were thinking, I would like my future to be within the field of nutrition and dietetics?
I think it really hit home for me that I wanted to pursue a career in nutrition when I was 15. A little bit of background before then, obviously I was riding, I had two horses. So I was going to school, going to the gym, riding two horses, training, and I was really active. So I had to fuel my body to make sure I could do all of that. And that's where I gained a little bit of knowledge about nutrition. And I really decided that I quite enjoyed it. And then when I was 15, I developed a really severe IBS, irritable bowel syndrome. And it was just absolutely horrendous. And it was definitely triggered by my mental health because I suffer with really bad anxiety. But from then on, I educated myself on different foods and what I can choose to eat that will make me feel better, different styles of eating. And I guess from then on, it just sparked a massive interest in nutrition for disease, especially, and how different foods can manage symptoms. So I guess I just went from there, really.
It's amazing to hear such a personal connection that you have to nutrition. And just on a side note there, obviously, I think a passion of mine as well is nutrition in the prevention and treatment of disease, which is actually a module that I think we have that together in second year?
I don't think I did that with...
Because we were on slightly different courses, weren't we?
Yeah, we did do a couple modules on that.
Yeah.
Especially in final year. I don't know if we had the same modules when you were on a year abroad, but yeah.
But I just wanted to make a point to any of our listeners who aren't yet in nutrition and dietetics that while nutrition can be used in terms of helping symptoms and as well in preventing or helping reduce risk factors, it's never a treatment for disease.
Yeah, exactly. And I think I mentioned this to you the other day. I think looking back now, I probably would have gone and studied dietetics off the bat. But I didn't know what it was. So I never knew it even existed. I just thought, oh, I'll become a nutritionist at the end of my degree and I'll be able to treat patients. Mm-hmm. And it was only halfway through my degree that I realized dietetics is a whole different kind of thing. And that's where my heart lies. So that's what I'm going to pursue.
So I guess that kind of brings me on to my next question, which is how did you find the course at Leeds?
It was definitely throughout our second year. Maybe we did do the module together. I can't remember. But I do remember that there was modules on nutrition for disease prevention and management. And I just realized I really thrived in those modules. And when you enjoy something so much, your grades go up. And I don't know. I just felt really happy doing those modules. And then I heard about dietetics. And I think that's when I finally realized that, yeah, this is definitely something that I want to do.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a distinction to make between nutritionists and dietitians. And it's not one that I didn't realize it either when I started looking at courses. So what did you really enjoy about the course at Leeds that you did?
Oh, this is a good question. How nice the module leaders were and the tutors and how approachable they were, because if you had a question or if you were uncertain about something, they were always there to help. Mm-hmm. Not only that, they were super, super engaging, and they were also knowledgeable in their areas, and you could definitely rely on them to be able to give you a thorough answer and help to support you through your degree.
Definitely. And I totally agree with that. Actually, reflecting back on our time at Leeds, I think because you do spend quite a lot of time there, and also that time where you're really changing and coming into your own, especially within nutrition. Yeah. And as you say, they were really approachable. I always felt comfortable going and asking questions because, as you say, they are so knowledgeable. I actually really miss it.
I just miss Leeds in general. It was just absolutely amazing, just academically and also socially. And after I left Leeds, I really felt the post-grad blues. And I actually ended up moving back to Leeds for about 4 or 5 months. And that's when I worked as the patient coordinator. Mm-hmm. Leeds is absolutely amazing. And if anyone's thinking about studying nutrition or anything like that, then definitely have a look at Leeds because it is great.
Yeah, it is definitely a great program. And I think I found that from the moment, or even of that first open day when lectures and just trying to figure out. I remember Michael Morgan gave my open day lecture, and it's always stuck with me. And I remember then having lectures with him in second year and absolutely loving them.
So I think it was, for me, it was when I went to visit with my mum. I must have been about 17, and we walked into the lab and they just had all these machines, and I was like, this is so cool. And even though that was more food sciencey, it was just like, wow, they obviously have a really good department here. And I just absolutely fell in love with the campus and all of that.
I have to say, I loved the campus too. And that was a big part of choosing a uni for myself, was I wanted to be near a city, but I did want a campus. So you kind of knew the people around you were also students. Did you find that when looking at Leeds, that it was a campus that you enjoyed?
Yeah, 100%. I was thinking about going to London. I think King's College I was looking at for a little bit, and everything just felt so separated, and I didn't really like that. I wanted to have something that was so, yeah, I just absolutely fell in love with Leeds, and I'm so, so happy that I went there.
Definitely. When I was, I think, 15, 16 when picking unis, and London just seemed so big at the time. And I'm at UCL. I absolutely love having the London base, but it just wasn't right for myself back then, which, I mean, it's, choosing where you study is such a big part of choosing the course as well.
Yeah, and also we do it so young. So young. I look back and I probably would have changed, as I said, a couple of things, but yeah, I mean, obviously I'm happy I've got to where I am now, but yeah, it's just you have to choose so young, and obviously people deviate from their original plans.
If you had one piece of undergraduate university advice to give to people who are listening this, who are studying either nutrition or dietetics, what would you say to them?
So much, so much. I actually filmed a YouTube video on this the other day. That's going to go up probably next week of my top tips. And I think my top tip is to keep a really open communication with your lecturers or your module leaders, because I feel like at university, especially something that I didn't do was engage enough with my lecturers and module leaders. And if you engage, then you can ask them if you can participate in different research projects that they're doing. University is an amazing time to use that time to widen your experience and gain as much experience as you can, and to ask if they needed help on a research project or something, or assistance. And it's so amazing to have in your CV because it makes you look so proactive.
Yeah, definitely. I think what you're highlighting there as well is it is about the whole experience. The actual learning is a major part of it, but there is so much more than just your lectures that your modules and your course are doing. And I think having that open communication with lecturers and tutors, and having, as you say, an established work relationship with them is super important.
And I think again, I mentioned this to you the other day when we caught up, but it's really important, and I've only realized it this year, especially when I was applying to my master's in dietetics. I was like, oh, I need a reference. And if you obviously establish that open communication and you have that relationship with someone, they know you back to front and they know how enthusiastic you are, and they'll give you a really good reference. And that's what I
Gosh.
did, luckily, with my dissertation tutor, which was fab. But I mean, I only wish that I did that with my module leaders and tutors in other subjects as
Definitely, they're such a good and inspirational source. It's so good to have that contact still with them. Now, you mentioned a couple of things which I'm excited to chat with you about in a moment. You mentioned your YouTube and dietetics, but let's go back to when you're finishing Leeds. So that's kind of where our journeys separated a little bit, because I went on my year abroad and you went into third year at Leeds. So tell us about your dissertation and kind of what happened at the end of your time at Leeds.
Oh, wow. So final year was really quiet. So we went from having 25 hours a week and then 16 hours a week to, I think we had five. So it was a lot more manageable. And I found final year to be the easiest of all. When it came to my dissertation, I did find it difficult, but I absolutely loved it. So it was in type 1 diabetes, and what's the effect of maternal gluten intake in the development and incidence of type 1 diabetes in offspring. So whether or not they develop type 1 diabetes if their mum eats gluten while they're pregnant. So that was quite interesting. And I'm not quite sure how I decided to do that subject, but yeah, no, it was great. And it definitely taught me a lot of research skills. And I also really enjoyed working alongside my dissertation tutor as well. And then once I graduated, obviously, I moved back down home and I felt super lost. And I worked in a pub for about 3 months because I didn't know kind of what my next step was. And then Natalie Jones, who was on the course with us, shout out to Natalie if you hear this. Honestly, the best move I've ever done is to go back to Leeds and worked as the patient coordinator for the NHS Diabetes Prevention Programme, because that opened so many doors for me after I did that job.
Amazing advice. Thank you, Ari. And I think just like what you were saying about final year being one of the easier years, I think as well, as you say, you know where you are, you know what your workload is. And your dissertation sounds interesting. And I know that you mentioned at the beginning that an area that you are really interested in now is diabetes. Do you think that was what sparked this interest that you have today?
I don't know. It's really weird. I don't know where it came from or originated from, but I've always really enjoyed learning about diabetes. And then I definitely think after my dissertation, I was like, yes, I really enjoyed it. But then I haven't really had the opportunity since the NHS Diabetes Prevention Programme to take that further until the job that I just recently got, which is in diabetes at King's. So yeah, no, I'm really happy. And that's definitely something that I want to pursue in the future.
And thank you for sharing with us that you felt maybe a bit lost when you finished that undergraduate degree at Leeds, because I think it's something that a lot of people might go through, and it's not something that's so often spoken about. And it is perfectly normal to feel that way, because your life has been, well, for us Leeds, for so many years. And then it's quite a sudden change for that to no longer be there. What advice would you give to anyone maybe coming up to that at the end of this year?
I think my biggest piece of advice, and I don't know if this is maybe going a bit backwards, but especially if you've been in education, so you've gone straight from school into university, is to take a break, take a month off, do what you want to do, relax, and then start picking up things that you think are going to benefit you in your career, such as volunteering or interning or finding a job that's in nutrition or dietetics.
Yeah. You don't always need a plan. You don't always need direction, because things change. And it's okay to take a break. It's good to take a break. Think about what you really want to do, which brought you to your role as an NHS coordinator. Would you explain that role to us a little bit?
Yeah. So all the NHS bookings that we got, it was pre-diabetic patients being referred to the programme. And then they had, I can't remember, I think it was a 9-month course that they would have, a preventative course. So we got all the referrals, and then we had to call the patients, or we would get calls coming in. And then we would have to deal with different inquiries and explain the programme. And I gained a lot of valuable skills in that. I think particularly compassion. A lot of the patients were older and struggling with loneliness. And I think they really valued having someone on the end of the phone line to speak to. And a lot of them, I mean, it's concerning being told that you're pre-diabetic, especially if you don't know much about diabetes. So yeah, no, it was nice to kind of offer them that helping hand.
Yeah. And it may not have been the role that you wanted to go into, which is dietetics, I know, but you gained obviously so many good transferable skills. As you say, compassion is so important within this field, and employers see that. It's not all about having the ideal job straight away. It's about building on your experience.
Yeah. And as I said, that job, it has led to so many good opportunities for me, and especially working for the NHS now, in my dietetic assistant role, they really valued that I had kind of patient-facing experience, although it wasn't direct, but over the phone. And obviously compassion, as I said, is a really, really big one that they value in the NHS. It is one of the NHS values.
So what happened to you next after that role as an NHS coordinator?
So I finally decided it was probably time for me to move on and move away from the beloved Leeds. So I ended up moving down to London, and it was quite scary because it was when COVID came out, and I think this was in February last year, and I didn't have a job secured. But on a whim, I applied to this dietetic assistant role, and I was like, I'm never going to get it. I know how hard to come by they are. And I applied, I got an interview at the end of February. And I was just like, I'm just going to go for it. I didn't have a house yet. So I had all my stuff up in Leeds, but all packed up. And then I did the interview, and I got called in like an hour. And she said that I had the role, which I was like so excited about, because yeah, it's just something that I definitely wanted to do. And allergies is another one of my interests, another one. And then, yeah, I went back up to Leeds, found a flat here, and then moved down. And yeah, it was literally right in the height of COVID, and I had to wait until June to start.
So that's the role that you've been doing since June. And what does your role involve? What have you been up to?
So much. So I work in pediatric food allergies, and my main role is to prepare the food allergy challenges and skin prick tests. So a child will come in and they'll give food in increasing doses and see if they react, and then that determines whether or not the child is allergic. So I make those doses, and then I also do the skin prick test. So just the food in the vials that they put on their skin and then prick them, and then they find out the reaction. So I do that. And then I also provide a lot of admin assistance to the dietitians. It is really admin heavy. Yeah. But it's so valuable, because reading through patient notes and stuff, I'm going to be having to do that when I'm a dietitian. So it's really, really good experience. And not only that, we work as part of an MDT, which is a multidisciplinary team. So that is absolutely amazing. And we have MDT meetings, and it's the doctors, nurses, admin team, everyone who's involved in the care plan of those allergy patients. And it's so medical, and I literally love it. I've learned so, so much on the MDT. It's been great.
It's actually so interesting to hear you talk about working with a skin prick test.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, I just stuff food in a vial, and then that's what they put on your skin. So I don't really do much in that regard. But yeah, it is cool that I get to play a part in that.
Yeah, really interesting. And also, as you say, it's working with an MDT. And I think it goes back to what we were saying earlier about getting those transferable skills, getting that really valuable experience and building and building. It's never going to be the exact role straight away because, no. I mean, as well, to go on to become a dietitian, there's another qualification involved. Mm-hmm. But all of these different skills are amazing and make you such like a good candidate for that.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've mentioned that you've recently got another role. Would you tell us about this? And also your time management skills must be amazing.
I am a very busy human, let me tell you. So my dietetic assistant role is part-time and I've been applying to get a second job since June. So an afternoon role because I work in the hospitals in the morning. And I, like many other people, I've been applying since June and mm-hmm. I haven't really got anywhere. I'm very grateful that I have my first job. So I just decided to just focus on that and then also my social media for a little bit. And then one day I was like, oh, I'm just going to go on Indeed and see what's out there. And this job popped up. So it's in mental health and diabetes, which are my two key interests. So it's a research administrative assistant job. And what the project is so it's under psychological medicine and it's a project investigating digital interventions for the prevention of type 2 diabetes in women who have gestational diabetes. So we're going to be looking at digital interventions, apps and online counseling and stuff, but also we're going to be looking at the mental health side as well. So behavior change and psychiatric disorders related to diabetes, depression, anxiety, which I personally love learning about because I suffer with them both. So yeah, I started last week.
Congratulations.
Thanks. And it's going well. I think it's going to be quite a lot of work, but it is exciting. And I know I'm going to gain a lot of experience in this role.
Yeah. And it sounds like it's right up your street. At the very beginning of this, you said how your interests lie within allergies, mental health and diabetes. And you're kind of working all of your passions at the moment. But also going back to like what your dissertation was on, it sounds very interlinked with what you were studying at the end of Leeds.
Yeah, it's weird. Even weirder as well. When I was reading the job spec, so it's a project based in Malaysia. So they're focusing on Malaysian women. And I grew up in Malaysia and everything about the job was just matched up to my life or just little things like diabetes, mental health, Malaysia. And I told my mum who lives in the US and she was like, Ari, just go for it. Just go for it. And yeah. And I got
it. All the pieces of the puzzle came in together. I have a question for you, which is when you were searching for Indeed, when you just decided to pop on there, what searches are you making? What words, keywords are you looking for when you're looking for a job?
So I think with that one, I just put in nutrition. Occasionally, I would just go on Indeed and just type in nutrition, see if anything popped up, look at location-wise, or also type in remote and not put location and see if there's anything out there. But also like dietetics, health, anything like that. But also a good piece of advice is Zoe Griffiths. So she does a lot on help for students and student advice and career advice. She put out a document of keywords for Indeed to put in the search bar.
That's really useful to know.
Yeah, really useful. So it's like food science and it just covers a really broad terms. So
because I think something that we quite often cover on this podcast is how broad food science, nutrition and dietetics is as a field. But sometimes it can make it hard then to search for jobs because they're not quite under the role of nutrition or dietetics. It's slightly different. I'll make sure to go have a look for Zoe's post on that because that sounds super useful.
Yeah.
Well, so that kind of brings us up to where you are at right now. But what have you most enjoyed since graduating from Leeds in working within nutrition, dietetics, and I guess research now too?
I guess because my research job is so new, probably focusing more on the NHS side, I love working for the NHS. I think it's absolutely amazing. The sense of community, how much I've learned, just how lovely everyone is. My team is absolutely amazing and they've been so, so kind and engaging and have taught me so, so much. I always have questions and I've just learned so much and they've just been so lovely. And I think when I qualify as a dietitian, that's something that I want to go back into the NHS and especially the MDT as well, because I want to work with a team to provide a really comprehensive treatment or care plan for the patient. I just think it's really, really enjoyable.
It's so lovely to hear all your positive thoughts about what you've been up to recently. And I just want to talk to you a little bit about social media and Instagram, because you've been doing it for a little bit of time now. So I guess this goes back to your time at Leeds. Would you take us through where you started off with Instagram?
So I was previously not the food and me nutritionist. I was the wellness student on Instagram. And I also had a website as well. So I was blogging for a little bit and it was all about student advice, but I didn't keep up with it. And I'm really annoyed that I didn't. So I left that. I didn't do anything. And then I got really busy with riding and all that. So I finished university and then was working out, obviously, my next move. And I always had social media in the back of my head until lockdown hit. And I had those months where I wasn't doing anything and I was waiting to start my role. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it now. I'm finally going to take the plunge and properly start my Instagram off. And actually, here's a little funny story as well. I've always been interested in making videos. So you'll probably see a lot of recipe videos on my Instagram and obviously the fact that I ventured into YouTube. But when I was younger, I would make my mum record me riding horses and I used to make videos to music and do effects on them and stuff. And I gained so many valuable skills from that because I know how to edit. It's something that I learned when I was younger. So now I know how to do it. And then I was like, yeah, I want to get back into that and stuff. So I think over time, I'm heading back into the video and content creation kind of thing. And I'm enjoying it so much. It's definitely something that I want to keep going with.
It's so funny that you mentioned that you used to do things like that, because I did too. I just think there's something really special about being able to share messages on social media today that are accredited and that have evidence base behind them, on also being able to see others and get recipe inspiration. I mean, you do so many videos, as you say, and they must take you so much time, but what do you really enjoy about sharing them?
I think really just like my Tuesday talks when I used to film. I mean, I don't have time to do them anymore, but I learned so much. It was like revising, and if I showed you my notes from the Tuesday talk videos that I used to do, they were like 5 pages long, and that was a bit too long, but it was so good to kind of revise and go through all of the subjects that we learned at uni. And also the fact knowing that you're sharing evidence-based nutrition, because we have to be so careful on social media and listen to professionals, listen to people who know what they're talking about, qualified people. And it's nice to know that you're one of them that is out there to spread good, trustworthy information.
Definitely. And obviously you started off as the wellness student, but you've changed your name relatively recently, I guess. The food and me nutritionist.
Yes. Yeah, I just outgrew my name, really. I mean, I wasn't a student anymore, even though I hopefully will be a dietetic student in the future. But I just didn't feel a student anymore.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be more associated with being a nutritionist.
And people can find you under that name on Instagram and also YouTube. But you've also got another venture on Instagram, the NutriCrowd. Do you want to tell us a bit about this?
Yes. So as I said, when I left uni, I had no idea what the next steps were. I didn't even know that you had to join the AFN to be a qualified nutritionist. I didn't know any of the steps. And I think last year was really valuable for me, the time that I had in between moving down to London and also starting my job, because I learned about all these things. And I did join the AFN back in December. So that was before that period. So I knew I had to do that by then. But yeah, no, it's just since then I learned so much and I really wanted to be able to share the information that I've learned. So yeah, the NutriCrowd was born in June, and I think it's really, really valuable to be able to share stories of how people got into nutrition, where they go to uni, what their interests are, what they want to specialize in, because it connects so many of us. Mm-hmm. And then we have people that we know we can ask questions. If we get questions in a certain topic or area, that we can go to them because we know what they're doing and we know what areas they work in. Not only that, we give out a lot of advice, so career and student advice as well. So we have those long discussion posts. And yeah, it's been so good. I've met so many people.
I know, it's been lovely to connect with so many people. And I think what I've learned from you today is that it's okay to stop. It's okay not to know what's next of your journey, to maybe take a step back, get some experience, no matter what it is. and see where the next thing takes you. And I think the NutriCrowd is a fantastic page for anyone listening. I guess kind of similar to what we're doing over here on the podcast, sharing about what people are up to, how they got to where they are. And I think that's what's been so valuable about being on social media. It's just be able to connect and ask people. And so many lovely people, like, as you said, with your job within the NHS, working within such a lovely team, there is such a lovely community out there.
Yeah, I didn't realise how supportive everyone would be. And you always have someone to ask a question. I've definitely felt a massive sense of community over the past couple of months, especially. And it's just really great.
For sure. Now, I always sum up with the same two questions. And I'm pretty sure the first one you've already answered. But we'll sum it up now. So, Ari, what is next for you?
What is next? Well, so I've applied to my master's in dietetics. So I am just waiting to hear back, and then we'll go from there. I have my two jobs now, so I'm just going to continue that until I know what's going on. This research job is for 12 months, so I'll be continuing it if I get into my master's up until January next year. And my dietetics job, I'll probably stop during the summer if everything goes well. And yeah, we'll just really go from there. That's my future steps currently. Yeah. You never know what's going to happen. So
exactly. You never know what's going to happen, but dietetics route all the way.
Yes, 100%.
Good luck with all of that, Ari. And could you sum up for us in a sentence, a few words or a quote, any advice that you would give to people currently on their journeys within food, nutrition and dietetics?
I think we've covered this previously, but take any job you can that is anything to do with food or nutrition, any volunteering activity, just do anything, be proactive, say yes to any opportunity you can, and just go for it, I guess. The more you can build up your CV and your experience, the better you look to employers.
Yeah, and keep on going. Don't lose faith.
Exactly. Keep on going.
Thank you so much, Ari, for being here today and sharing your journey with us. If you don't follow Ari already, you can find her both on Instagram and on YouTube by searching for The Food and Mood Nutritionist. And you can also look up the community Ari has founded on Instagram by searching for The NutriCrowd. Thank you.
Thanks.
It was so lovely to have you here today, Ari, to share your passions, journey and advice. You've shared with us how it is okay to take a break and reflect on how far you've come, and you've really highlighted how all experience is relevant. And thank you to all of you listening who have joined me on the journey of this podcast. If you love hearing about others' journeys as much as I love to share them, please give this podcast a 5-star review. It will help us to reach more people. I wish Ari and all of you luck on your journeys. I hope you join me the week after next to discover more journeys in nutrition.